行。Voy a leer. Ok. The one that's on me. Okay. Welcome to this new course, which is built upon the previous one. So perhaps I could begin with saying a few words as to the second project. There were a number of very fine answers. Not all of them were perfect, but then the issue is learning and how to improve. I wonder first if you have some questions as to the solution, which was not a complete solution, that I sent to you. It was not complete because it was not the kind of report that you were expected to write. So, for instance, instead of explaining the different parts of the model, I just put the graph and the equations and so on. And many of the equations are trivial. So when you write such a report, it's only about explaining the equations that are not so trivial. Any questions to this? Okay. I would like to comment on one thing that continuously, every year, in every course, seems to have caused problems to the students. And that's the questions of the choice of the time step. Some students believe that time step should be chosen because there is some constant in the model that has time. So if it's 2 months there, then they think, okay, then I choose a time step two. But that's not the point. The point is always about the accuracy of the model. So if you have such a model and you simulate it, then you should check that you have a time step that renders visual accuracy. And so that it becomes clear what I mean by that, I am showing you one of the models. It is the third model. If you look at the graphs here, or the graphs here with a fixed time step, and then you change the time step, it's very difficult to see the changes. So what you should do is to create a graph where you see different runs with different time steps. And that's what you are seeing here. You are seeing one of the variables, the perceived number of successful denial of service attacks. And here it has been simulated with four different time steps. Time step one, DT, is a usual abbreviation for a time step. So time step one, that is the blue curve, and you see that running here in the bottom. Then, with the time step 1/2, and then you notice a significant visual difference between the two. Then they reduce to 1/4, and the next curve, the green one, still is different from the red one, but you see the distance is very small. And then finally, if you choose the gray one, which is time step 1/4, 0.125, it is virtually the same as the previous. So you could say time step of 0.25, or perhaps zero time step of 0.125, is the one that gives visual accuracy. Making it smaller, it doesn't change visually. As I have emphasized many times, for every simulation model, you should set some accuracy level. How accurate should that be? If you are working as a consultant, then the person who is paying you will say, I need an accuracy of so much. And in that case, if you get a numerical accuracy, then you should compare the runs and make a mathematical comparison. You can export the numbers to Excel, and then you can compare different runs and say how far you have to go to achieve, say, 0.5% accuracy. If you get visual accuracy, then the requirement is that the curves do not change anymore to the eye by decreasing the time step even more. How do you create such a graph? Well, you see the runs here. I have a run which I call DT0, DT0.5, and so on and so on. And what I did is, no, dt0 is actually a mistake. dt1 is time step 1, dt0-5 is time step 0.5, and so on. So what I did is, I went to model settings, fix the time step, in this case it's 0.125, and call the run dt0, I cannot use the dot, so I put 0-125. Then I run it. And I did it for all the possibilities. Then I went to the control panel and create a graph which I call comparing different times, time steps. And the graph looks like this. First the title here. And then I selected exactly the same variable because I'm going to compare different, the same curve for different time steps. And here I put the data sets. And they have to match to the one. So this is the data set for time step 1. This is the data set for time step 1/2. This is the data set for a time step 1/4. And this is the data set for a time step 1/8. This mark here, I think I explained that before. The mark there means scale the curves equally. So in order that you get the same axis. You have also the possibility of putting the minimum and the maximum there. But in this case, the only thing we care is that the scales are the same. So by putting this here, this curve and the next one have the same scale, and the next scale has the same scale as the previous, and so on. And that gives you this curve, which is exactly the one that I put here using the input-output object. Yes?
So, just to sum up, the way to choose the accuracy level for times, for dt is when the graphs do not change when you increase or lower the...
When you decrease the time step, yes.
So when you get to that point when you try to decrease but the graph stays at the same place,
yes,
then you are at the optimal accuracy level.
That's right. So... the same thing you could create, you could also create a table, if you like, where you would see the accuracy. If you want to create a table, you put a graph, and you create new, and here as table. And you can call it numerical comparison of time steps. DT is time step. And then you choose the variable, and let's stay with the same, perceive attacks, at, what I don't see here is how to choose the time step. For the other it is possible, but here I don't see the tie step. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, that's right. I can see that. Remove. Yes. Perceive. Okay. Data set. DT1. At. And then the same thing. Perceive. Blah blah blah. Data set dt0-5, 0.5 at the same thing. Data set dt0-250. Or was it just 0.25? I think it's 0.25. Right. And finally, the variable perceive, blah, 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 data set. I would hope it would be much better if you could select the data set from the list, because here you have to remember and so on. So that's not very clever or fancy. Then you should put here, you don't want all the results. So here you could put, for instance, every 5 months. This means only result at 0 months, 5 months, 10 months will be shown. And then you get this, where you can compare the numbers. But I am going to modify something. Running down, it's better. Display. And there you can see that. So here you see significant changes for time step 1 to time step 1/2. So instead, for instance, to time 100, 28.62, you see it here, 29.35. If you make the time step 1/4, the difference is little. If you made it 1/4, the difference is on the fourth numerical. But still, you can see differences, but they are no longer visual. In this way, you could compute the numerical accuracy. This table you can send to Excel, and then you could do an Excel computation and see how accurate they are.
Right, so in this case, you can use either 0.25 or 0.125, and it would be a correct
time step. Visually, I don't think you can see the differences between this here, because you can see 29.73, 29.92, that's 0.02. In about 300, so yes, 2 is less than 2 parts in 300. That's very little. So it's much less than 1%. You cannot see that, but you could see, and we did see that visually difference between this. So if you say I choose the time step 0.25, that's okay. If you say I take the time step 0.125, 1/8, it's also fine. Going further, there's no point visually. Okay? Okay, then you will have more simulation models in this course as well, so I'm sure everybody will choose the right time step.
Do you still want the highest time step possible, or what? I mean, when you explain it now, it seems like you won't.
Yes, yes, but there is no point. if you are doing these simple models, they are simple in the sense they don't have too many variables, then you can choose a very small time step and you don't pay for that. But if you have a big model and you are choosing two small time steps, then you are increasing the computation times a lot. Yes. So the point is understanding how far you have to go, and don't make the computer work more than necessarily. If you are working for NASA or whatever and are doing a very, very complex simulation, then choosing the right time step is very important, because otherwise the computations can be take far too long time. Okay, so now to the new course, Security as Continuous Improvement. You know the setup. First, a little description, the literature, the requirements, when we will have exams. And they have been fixed by the administration. The first exam will be in April, 7th April, again from Monday to Friday, again a new project. And the last one will be in May, 9th of May. And for each of these, there will be multiple choice exams. For the last one, I put half an hour because I don't have so many questions to ask, but perhaps I find more questions and then I increase the time. Okay, then the three classes today, 18 March. We are going to work with this model here, which is a very interesting and explanatory model. But before that, the materials. First of all, there is a review of what we are going to do today and what you are expected to learn. Then there is a lecture. And then there are a number of additional documents which you can read in addition to the lecture. Then we will have a number of exercises. What is important for you to learn is try to connect the new information to things that you know from before. You learn best if you can connect it to things. And since I don't know what is in your head, then I cannot connect to you. I try my best. But your part of the effort should be in how can I connect it to things that I know. You can ask questions. You can be more active. You could also talk not only to me but to other students. Try to find how you can use that based on your interests, your previous knowledge, and so on. And then the important thing is that you put these things to action. And to put this to action, there are several things you can do. If you talk to other students about what you have learned, oh, that's what I heard today, and so on, then you are using the knowledge that you got in your head. If you write things down, you are using, you are putting into action what you learned. If you do exercises, you are using that. And that's very, very important, because otherwise you don't have the complete cycle of learning. The complete cycle of learning is absorbing information, integrating it with knowledge that you have in your head, adapting it to your needs so that you can use it, and then starting being creative in some way so that you can express it, you can explain it, you can write it, you can do exercises, you can solve problems. So if you do the whole cycle, then you will be most effective. In the lectures here, you are getting visual and auditory information, and I'm trying to engage you through questions, reflections, exercises, and so on. But there are some things I can do. I can explain it for you, but I cannot understand it for you. So we have to meet halfway. Okay. As to the what we are expected to do today, so I want to close this one, but still keep the other one. So how do we do that? I have two documents. Prior to solution, stage, close. Okay, this one. This is the document that explains what we are doing in this course. And I repeat this archetype that you have seen before, that senior management is very much interested in producing, achieving some gain for the company. We call it throughput. They have a focus on growth. They tend to neglect security. And by neglecting security, security in the shadow, this impacts throughput. So the intention to achieve to growth is hampered by the fact that security will lead to downtime and therefore damage the throughput. So it is pretty much what we want to learn here is how can we achieve to put in security that it gains the organization. And the idea is you have to continuously improve. You have to continuously improve because the world is moving, the threats are changing, the attackers are becoming cleverer, they have more and more technical means. So I tell you a little bit about how this is being used with simulation and system dynamics and the materials and so on and so on. And a lot of references here. You don't need them all, but it's up to you how deep you want to go into the materials. You can keep this for later. Some students come back after some years and say, hey, I am working in this company, and this issue that at that time heard from you or learned from you is useful for me. How could we come together? And we have done that with the Monix and other companies. Okay? So the lecture today is about how we model security as a continuous improvement process. And I will show you that there is a paradox, which we call the improvement paradox. It is about the fact that although there is a general agreement that one should have quality improvement programs in organizations, and security improvement is part of the quality improvement, in practice, few organizations really succeed in achieving, in realizing the plans. So there is a paradox. Everybody agrees that's what it should do. A lot of people invest a lot, but the results are very variable. Some organizations succeed. The vast majority do not. So why? And then I will try to explain why this is more difficult in practice and where the problems are. And for this, we need a system dynamics model. It will explain this paradox. Sorry. With some simulations, we will show the results of the model. And the first part of the talk is generic, because it applies to the whole of quality improvement. And then we derive the lessons specifically for information security. So here is the paradox. My numbers are from 1997, but I can assure you that this hasn't changed. It hasn't changed much. The investments are even bigger, and that's a lot. For instance, in the United States, investment in the order of 100 billions. A billion is what we call in Norwegian milliard. So, hundred thousands of millions of dollars were invested in 1997 in all kind of quality improvement programs. Today, even more is invested. The strange thing is that only a small percentage of these programs do really lead to significant results. The return on investment is profitable. As to the outcomes is that if you look at the 1,000 largest and most successful companies in the world, as they are listed by Fortune 1000, it turns out that only about 10% really succeed in having well-developed total quality management programs. And that means that from these 100 billions of dollars, only 10 of these lead to significant return on investment. The others are more or less wasted. And then the strange thing is that there is a majority of leading managers in companies. They have become skepticals as to quality improvement programs because they think, okay, it doesn't work for me. Instead, they turn to other kinds of rules and practices that are impairing the performance of the company. But then, there are studies, very good scientific studies, where they have looked at what happens if you succeed in implementing a total quality management program. It shows that the companies and organizations that do this, they significantly outperform their competitors. So it pays to have a good quality improvement program or total quality management program. So we have a paradox. Only 10% succeed. A lot of senior managers are skeptical. On the other hand, there is no reason to that, because the programs that succeed, they really pay off. So to study this paradox, a group at MIT led by Professor Ripernin and Professor Sturman. They worked for about 10 years in studying studies of process improvement in different organizations. They conducted about 12 studies, very detailed studies, and they look at all kinds of industries. And they went into the companies and spent time there. They got access to data. They conducted interviews. They looked at the archives. They performed measurements. And for each of these studies, which were conducted with different PhD students, they created a system dynamic model for the organization in case. And they are, of course, slightly different models, or perhaps significantly different models, because they were dealing with different industries. But, and here's the interesting thing, they found that across the different sectors, there was a common aspect that was essential for the performance. And that is very, very simple to explain. And there is an article which I have uploaded. You can you find it in Frontier, with a nice title, "Nobody Ever Gets Credit for Fixing Problems That Never Happened." And this title comes from an engineer in one of the organizations. He was interviewed, and again the question came, why are you not more supported? You are, after all, trying to improve the organization. You are trying to prevent errors that will lead to downtime and so on and so on. And he said, well, if you fix problems so that they never happen, you never get credit for that. Or he said exactly like this. And Ripernin and Sturman like that and use that as the title of the paper. And that's pretty much also in security. If you work as a security officer and you are doing well, then nothing happens. And you are easily overlooked. That's one of the problems with security. If you do it well, nothing happens. And you don't get credit for solving the problems that otherwise would have occurred. It is not as brutal as that, but there is a significant truth in that. So, let's look at the system dynamic model, and let's look and consider the performance of an organization. The performance is something you can measure. So, if it's Statoil, then the performance is the throughput they get by producing gas and oil. If it's Norwegian, then it is how much money they make per quarter from their flights and so on. So, the actual performance is influenced by two things. Any process that leads to some performance depends on two things: on the time that is spent working on that, and how good, how effective the working is, the capability. So you have two things that you can influence, so as to improve the performance. And you can see the influence arrows, they have a positive polarity. If you increase the time spent working, other things being equal, you increase the performance. If you increase the capability of the process, other things being equal, you increase the performance. So you can work more, or you can improve the capability of the process. The or is not an either or. When you use an inclusive or, so you can do both things, more time and improve the capability. And that's okay with the or, which is not an exclusive or. So one of both or both is compatible with or. Now, if you work harder, more hours, then you see the results immediately. And that's the same for you in your study. If you are spending, say, 20 hours a week in learning, and then you go up to work 25 hours, other things being equal, you are going to improve. And you see the results immediately. Okay? But this has a limited effect. And the limited effect is simply that the numbers of the hours of the day is limited. And of course, it is also limited by the fact that you have to sleep and all kind of things. So you have a certain amount of time that you could invest, and beyond that, you cannot invest more. In fact, there is also limitations. If you work too much, you get tired, and so on and so on. So there might be also psychological and biological limits to how far you can go. When it comes to capability, rather than doing as we had in the previous slide, we saw a direct effect. We would like to emphasize that capability is something sustainable. Capability is about bright ideas, new processes, new technology, and whatever. So once you have it there, it stays. Well, not quite. Over time it will decrease. Even the best equipment over time will erode. So this capability here does diminish over time. You have to maintain it, but it is quite sustainable and has long duration. But to boost this capability, you have to spend time. And it's going to take time, and you don't know how much time. Normally, it can be months, it can be years, before the time spent on improvement does lead to something that adds to the capability. The investment in capability that you see here is the actual resolve that increases the capability. A new process, a new idea that is bright and that really helps improve the capability. But once you have it, then it's quite sustainable and it helps the performance. And historically, you see that. When people build the first cars, they spent 1 week per car. Today, cars are made much more effective with machines and with all kind of inventions. For instance, the bright idea of Ford to put the assembly line in which people were sitting and they go to the car and did exactly the job they were best off, then they moved to the next person who made something different. That was a tremendous improvement of the process, of the capability of the process. And once you have that improvement, it stays forever until perhaps you got an even better thing. And today, a lot of the things are done by robots and so on, and people are sitting behind computers in programming and so on. They are even more effective. So, because of the delay, the time spent on improvement doesn't give results immediately, but it yields sustainable improvement, although there is some decay over time. So that means you have to maintain it, or you have to add new things. Also because even if the capability stayed and didn't erode away, your competitors are working and improving the capability. So in order to stay and compete, you have all the time to think, how can I do it better? So suppose you are the senior manager in such an organization. What you actually do is you have some goal for your performance. You have a desired performance. And you compare that with the actual performance, and you have a difference. That's what we call the performance gap. And because there is a performance gap, you have to make something. So what do you do in order to close the gap? Well, here is one possible solution. The possible solution, if you are the manager of the company is to say to your employees, you have to work harder. I want you to be more effective, work more hours, don't drink so much coffee, whatever, stay on work, produce more. So as a manager, you can exert pressure to do work. Pressure means using your influence what it's worth. You can talk to the people. You can promise incentive. You can threaten people to fire them if they don't perform, all the kind of things. So this leads to more time spent working, and more time spent working increases the performance and closes the gap. We call this loop, you can see it is a balancing loop, the first balancing loop in this model, we call it work harder. Okay? That's the one possibility. But there is a second possibility. The second possibility is to motivate your employees and giving them the resources and the time to improve their capability. If you motivate them to do that, they will spend time on improvement, and with some time delay, there will be an investment in capability. They will get ideas, they will develop things, they will have patents, whatever, they will have new equipment, they will invest, perhaps they find, if I buy these machines, I can improve. Anyhow, after some time, their capability improves. And we can call this loop, which is also a balancing loop, a work smarter loop. So you have the choices, work harder, work smarter. Is that all? No, because there is a trade-off. This trade-off is shown by the new line here, which is if you increase the pressure to do work, you will reduce the time spent on improvement. There is a connection between this and this. And because of this, you see there is a new loop. And if you go around this loop, assume the performance gap increases, and assume that it leads to more pressure to do work, which means less time on improvement, which means less on capability, which means less actual performance, you get the reinforcing loop that increases the gap. But assume that the decision is to improve capability, so less pressure to do work, more time on improvement, more investment in capability, better actual performance, more time to work smart. So you get a reinforcing loop, which we call it reinvestment, because this loop reinforces the strategy that you opt for. If the strategy is to work smarter, then the reinforcing loop makes it easier for you to work smarter in the future. If your strategy is to push the people to work harder, then reinvestment loop forces the people to work even harder next time. So the reinforcing loop can act as a virtuous circle by reinforcing their working smarter, or a vicious circle by forcing your employees to work harder and harder and harder and harder. And we know there is a limit to that. Is that all? No, because there is another loop. And that is, the more time you spend on improvement, the less time you spend working. So this is another loop, and if you go through the loop here, it is still a balancing loop. And we call it shortcuts or cutting corners. And the reason for that is that even if you are working smart, if there is a crisis in organization, that, for instance, you have a deadline to meet and you are lacking behind, then the tendency is there to say, okay, we don't have time to improve things, now we have to deliver this project. If you are doing this, you are cutting corners and forcing the people to work harder. So it forces the management to deallocate resources from working smart to working hard. So this was the model, and we can make a break here soon because the time is close to the hour now. My question is, does it make sense to you? Do you recognize that perhaps in your working, when you are doing exams, for exams, then probably you are using shortcuts instead of how to improve your things and so on. Forget about everything. I have to put all my time in working hard, preparing for this. So then you are using the shortcut loop. When will you use the work smarter loop? In your past, have you used that? For instance, that you reflect, okay, I need to improve my way of working. Do you recognize these elements here?
I would say I have the time. If I have more time, even for studies, I mean, not for an exam, but you have time to be studying whatever you have to do. I'm not sure if that's.
So you are saying that it's difficult to find time to work smarter. That's basically what I'm saying. And that's a lot. Yes, and that's very, very true. And that's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to do quality improvement. We will later see a study from a security organization that tried to work smarter and the problems they found in getting the time to work smarter. Okay, let's have a break, 15 minutes. And I need a break for my voice. I see still it's not rest.